You know, this morning as I was meditating and preparing for this message, I was thinking about this word, alien, from foreign aliens to beloved citizens. Now, what is an alien? Now, if you're like me, you know, before I came here to the States, whenever I heard the word alien, this is what came to my mind. Okay, so if I heard alien, I was like, you know, green little man, big eyes. Some of you might have him in like this kind of image in your head. And that was an alien for me. And what a surprise I took. It was so strange as I was reading through the vocabulary and all the paperwork of immigrating into the States that an alien was something different. Although for me as a Colombian, this was an alien. For the American government, an alien looked a little bit more like this. So someone who's foreign, and not even that, as I started filling out my paperwork, I realized that this was an alien. You know, that Peely and I were aliens. It's still a funny word for me to say and to think through, but it's the right word. What is an alien? An alien is a naturalized foreign resident of a country. Somebody who is residing in a country different to their own. Somebody who does not belong to that place and is there as a foreigner. And as a foreigner or an alien, you don't have the same rights or the same privileges that a citizen does, right? That's the situation of so many people here in America. So many different aliens that we have. And all of them with the desire of being citizens, right? So there are differences. What's it like to be an alien? When Clea and I were getting ready and we first came into the States, we were non-resident aliens with a student status, an F1 visa. Now, because you're an alien, you don't have all the same rights. There's some restrictions for you. And Clea and I had different restrictions. Mine was an F1 visa. And with an F1 visa, you can only stay in a country for a period of time. They tell you, you know, as long as you're studying, you can stay here. But as soon as you're done with school, adios, goodbye. It's time for you to go. Another condition is you can work, but you can only work within the student campus. You can only do work that is related to your school. That's all you can do. You cannot do anything outside of school. And that was me. So I had some rights. I had a little bit of a privilege. It was enough. God used all of that. But the situation of my wife was very different. She had an F2 visa. Okay, F2 is a spouse of a student. Now, with an F2 visa, she could come into the States, but she could not study. She could not take any type of educational program or ESL, like an ESL program that would give her some type of certificate or study at the seminary. She could not study at all. Also, she could not work. She could not babysit. She could not find some job in another place. She could not do anything that would be related to receiving money. And as we looked at all these restrictions that she had, I realized my wife had exactly the same privileges than my luggage. So she could be in the States, come with me, and that was about it. So definitely not a fun situation. That's the situation of many other people that are here in the States. They are aliens. They have restrictions. And that's probably why everybody wants to become a citizen. But it's not easy to become a citizen, right? They dream about it, and they want to work through it. Probably many of you have gone through that process of coming here to the States as an alien, then going through becoming a resident, and then after you become a resident, many years, through a lot of paperwork, through a lot of money that you have to pay, and some exams you have to take, you finally become a citizen, right? But it's not easy. You need a sponsor, probably. So maybe a spouse, if you got married to an American, or maybe some job that will sponsor you and will vouch for you as for immigration, or maybe one of your children who is an American and is sponsoring you to come into the States. But it's not easy. And after many years, you even have to take an exam, right? And you go to take this exam in order to become a citizen. Now, let me give you a short test, okay? I'm going to give you some of the questions that you have to take in order to become a citizen, all right? So I'm sure all of you are lawful citizens of the United States of America, so you should know these answers, right? Or else, nothing will happen to you, don't worry. First, how many amendments does the Constitution have? Okay, just answer it in your heads, and I'm going to give you 10, and just see how many out of 10 can you get, okay? First one is, how many amendments does the Constitution have? Second one, what's the economic system in the United States? What's the economic system in the United States? Number three, name your U.S. representative. Name your U.S. representative. Number four, what are two cabinet-level positions? What are two cabinet-level positions? Number five, who is the Chief Justice of the United States now? Who is the Chief Justice of the United States now? Number six, who lived in America before the Europeans arrived? Number seven, the federal papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers. Number eight, what is one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for? Name one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for. And it's not being on the $100 bill. Number nine, before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What was he in? What war was he in? And finally, number 10, what did Susan B. Anthony do? What did Susan B. Anthony do? So you have 10 questions, okay? If you got all 10 of them right, you are a super citizen of America. Good job. If you got 9 or less, you're not doing that bad. If you got 6 or less, come to Colombia with me. What are you doing here? I think Beth is coming with me. But here's the thing. All of us, absolutely all of us, were aliens. Or even some of you here are aliens right now. All of us, at some point of time, were foreigners. People that did not belong. People who did not have rights. People who did not have all the privileges that citizens do have. All of us were like that. Some of you might be today. And that's why the passage we're about to study this morning is so important to us. Because it talks about who we were, the restrictions we have. And it reminds us what a blessed position we have of being citizens of heaven. So please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11. We'll read from verse 11. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. As we look into Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22, I want to remind you that all of us were aliens without rights, without benefits, without hope. But in Christ, all of us who have trusted in him and placed our faith in him now belong to him. Now we have the rights of his children. Now we have the promises of the covenant and the hope of his coming kingdom. I want all of us to see this and be thankful and live out that citizenship that we all have. This beautiful paragraph is divided in three. You have in verses 11 through 12 how we were before as aliens, what it means to live like an alien. You see, he starts with two simple words, remember that, in verse 11. And then again in verse 12, remember that. Looking into the past, looking behind to what it was like to be an alien without Christ. Then we have a second section which starts in verse 13. You see, the first words in verse 13 are, but now. It's a break, right? It's saying that's where we were in the past, but now is different. In the second section, we have the sponsorship of Christ. The sponsor who has brought to us and who the only one who can allow us to be citizens. And what he did, how he made us citizens of heaven. And then finally, verses 19 through 22, you have a next section. Look at the first words. So then, these are the consequences. These are the benefits. This is how we enjoy the rights of being citizens of heaven. So let's jump to the first section as we look at chapter 2, verse 11. It says, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. First thing we were as aliens is despised, rejected, looked down on. You see, here Paul is saying, you were called the uncircumcision. Now, the uncircumcision is not simply a description, like a physical description of who the Gentiles were. No, the uncircumcision, it's a bad name. It's a name that is despising those who were not part of the Jewish culture, who were not part of Israel. The Israelites, the one who were citizens, the one who belonged to God, the one who had the promises, would look down upon the rest of the world and call them the uncircumcised. You are a different kind of people. We don't want to mess with you. We don't want to eat with you. We don't want to work with you because you do not belong to God. As aliens, we were despised. It's interesting, as I was reading through this chapter and getting ready, how, you know, nowadays in our culture, you know, there's a lot of things going through immigration and all these issues, and how by some people, not all of them, immigrants are looked down upon. You know, they're despised, they are rejected, they're criticized, they're called names, they're categorized and put on a different standard, and simply said, we don't want them. They're immigrants. They're aliens. They don't belong to us. That's who we were. The same situation that some of these people are going through right now is who we were before Christ. We were called the uncircumcision. We were despised. By whom? By those who call themselves the circumcision. By the Jews. It's so interesting the way that Paul is describing them. Look at the way he describes them, which is made in the flesh by hands. It's like he's trying to make a strong emphasis on how carnal their decisions and their way of thinking was. You see, the way that Paul uses flesh almost in every book of his is to relate to that which is different to the spiritual. The works of the flesh that works against the work of the Spirit. And these people are doing circumcision, not in the power of God, not in the grace of Christ, but in the flesh and by their hands. It's a double qualifier there, which is saying, this is not correct. They were strained from God. They were in their own strength, in their own vision, in their own way of thinking, despising the Gentiles. But that's who we were. We were despised. And after describing that being despised, we're given five ways, five things, five items, five privileges that we did not have as aliens separated from God. Number one is we were separated. Look at verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Separated from Christ. And here we have to make a small pause. You see, because we're so used to the term Christ and we read it in the New Testament so often, we forget what Christ means. We forget that Christ is simply the Greek way of saying the Messiah. The Messiah. So when you're reading the word Christ, you're thinking about the Messiah. You have to go back to the Old Testament when you read that term, when you read his name as Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. You see, we've come to this point where we think that Christ is New Testament and Messiah is Old Testament. That whenever we're referring to Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that's a different person. And then the Messiah, it's a different person in the Old Testament. But it's the same word. It's exactly the same word. It's a different translation. So the first privilege that we lost as aliens is we're separated from the Messiah. What does that mean? How important was the Messiah for the Jews? How important was the promise of that second coming of the Messiah for the Jews? What was the Messiah going to do as the Jews believed it? You know, the Jews believed that the Messiah would come to restore Israel, to defeat the enemies of Israel, to bring about the reign of the people of God in a kingdom of peace and prosperity. There were so many promises related to him, and we will examine some of those in our Sunday school time. I'm just going to glance through these five, but we will go a little bit deeper in the Sunday school as we look into those promises and who the Messiah was. But I just want you to get into your heads what it meant to be separated from Christ. It meant that we did not have, as aliens, an expectation of a better future. That's what the Messiah was going to bring. A better future. A different future. Where we're not oppressed. Where they were not, dominated by other governments. The Messiah would bring shalom, the complete peace, the whole peace of understanding. We did not have that. We did not have that. If you look into your present and it was dark and it was horrible, you had no expectation of a different future, of somebody who could come and make a change, because we did not have Christ. We didn't have the Messiah. The second thing that Paul describes here is that we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth was all the blessings that Israel received just because they were the nation of God. All the inheritance that they had because of him, because of what he did for them. You know, Israel was indeed a blessed nation. As long as they stayed in the covenant of God and they fulfilled His commandments, what was the promise and how was God going to bless them? Immensely, right? Remember Deuteronomy 28, and we see the description of how He would bless them. He would bless the cattle, He would bless the crops, He would bless the women, He would give them peace, He would give them prosperity. They were indeed a blessed nation, a commonwealth with riches that we do not begin to understand. But as aliens, we have no part on that. You can think on the terms of maybe what an alien would have a right to here in the States. If you're an alien, you are alienated from the Commonwealth of the United States. You cannot apply for a federal scholarship if you want to go to college. You have to try to do international student scholarships, but whatever is federal, whatever is money from the United States that is given to students, as an alien, you cannot get any of that. You cannot get any of that because you're alienated from the Commonwealth. Their social security is another one. If you are not a resident of the United States, a citizen of the United States, you do not have access to the American social security. That's only reserved, it's a Commonwealth only reserved for the citizens of this country. Same thing for us, without Christ. As we were aliens before, we did not have access to the Commonwealth of Israel. And I don't think that we really understand this. You know, as we read through the Old Testament, it is so mechanical of us to simply read the Old Testament, read the promises in it, read the God that we see in it, read the richness of the blessings that God brings, and automatically, we immediately think, that's for me. That's for me. It's good we do that, but we forget that wasn't for me. I was not a part of this. I was not a part of this plan that God had in the Old Testament. I was not a part of these blessings that God is describing for Israel. I was not a part of these blessings that are given in the Psalms, of this confidence of having a God who would fight for you, who would go for you. The Psalm 23 was not meant originally for me. God was not my shepherd. He wasn't. Because I was a foreigner. Because I was not part of the people of God. I was alienated from the commonwealth. As you keep reading, you have also this fact that we were strangers to the covenants of promise. Strangers to the covenants of promise. So we had no promises. What covenants is Paul referring to here? Probably not the conditional, but the unconditional covenants of the Old Testament. There are three possible covenants that I can think about in the, that could relate here. The first one is the Abrahamic covenant. The second one is the Davidic covenant. And the third one is the new covenant promised in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Now, to give you a quick review, the Abrahamic covenant, which we will look into in Sunday school time, it's the promise that God makes to Abraham. And what does He promise to Abraham? What would God give to him? Right? He would give to him the land, and He would bless his descendants, and they would multiply like the stars and the sand, and He would bless him, and through him bless all the nations. That's a covenant for Abraham. We were not part of that covenant. We were not related to Abraham. We were not his descendants. That's not, or was not, for us. The Davidic covenant is this promise that God makes to King David, right? Where He's promising that for as long as this world exists, God will put one of the David's descendants in the throne as a king, and He would bless that king, and that king would bless the nations. That promise is realized in Christ Jesus. But we were not part of that covenant. We didn't have that promise. And lastly, the new covenant in Jeremiah, where God promises that He would write the law in the hearts of the people. that he would make a new covenant in them and transform them from the inside out. That promise was originally meant for Israel, not for us. So you see, all these promises that we have in our minds, all these covenants that we sometimes are just used to being a part of, we did not belong to them. They were not originally meant for us. It was a mystery that God had hidden, that he would bless the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. But we were alienated for that. We were strangers to them. As you keep reading, and this is probably more a consequence of not having promises, we had no hope. Now, what is hope? When do you have hope? When there's at least the remote expectation that things will get better. But if you have no promises, if you have no way of knowing that things will get better, how would you have hope? How would you have hope? If you were in school and you were not told the day that school was over, but they would just tell you school is going to go on forever and ever and ever, what hope could there be? Sometimes the only reason you endure through the last months of school is because you can see the goal and you say, three more weeks, two more weeks, one more week, one more day, and you endure. You have the hope of summer coming by and freeing you from school. But what if you had no promises? You would have no hope. And again, this was our situation. Again, we are so used to having promises. We're so used to having hope. We're so used to just quoting and saying, you know, to those who love God, all things work together for good. So no matter how dark and how bleak the situation is, we remain hopeful. But just remind yourself this morning, there was a time where you did not have it. There was a time where you did not have hope. And now, in this moment, maybe here in this room, but certainly several people outside do not enjoy that. You know, when we think about people who are unbelievers, who have not trusted Christ, they are still aliens. They are still people without these promises. They are still people that don't have this hope. They are still people that do not have that do not belong to Christ, that do not have Christ, that do not have the promises of the Messiah. Doesn't that change or give us a sense of urgency, of sharing, of getting to know them and telling them, hey, you can be a citizen. You can have rights. You can have promises. You can have hope. And lastly, in this section, he ends up saying, without God in the world, without God in the world. Now, without God is not simply just an atheist. God here is Yahweh, the God of Israel, without that particular God. Now, just for a second, stop and think. What would your life be today if God was not a part of your life? What would change if, for some reason, God was not a part of your life at all? You would not know him. You would not know that God would even exist. How would your life change? How would your work change? How would your marriage change? How would the way that you relate to your children change? Because that's who we were. And that's who people who do not belong to Christ are. That's, I would say, an awful, awful, awful situation. Wouldn't it be? Why do people sponsor their relatives or other people to come here to the States? Probably because they believe that here they will have a better life, wouldn't it? That they'll do much better here than what they're doing somewhere else. Why do so many people down in South America dream with the American dream of coming here to the States and being able to live here? Because they believe wholeheartedly that to live here in the States would be
much better than to leave where they are right now. Better job opportunities, better lifestyle, more security, more safety, etc., etc. So as we think about the situation that we were in, but also about the situation that people outside of Christ are in right now, I hope that gives us a motivation, a push to say, hey, they're in a bad place. They're in a bad place. They need to become citizens. They need to stop being aliens without Christ and become citizens of heaven. And there is only one way that can happen. When you want to come here in the States, the only way that you can become a citizen or a resident without a sponsor is if you are an exceptional alien. That's the actual word, an exceptional alien. That means that you are a great artist or a bright mind or somebody who's so good and so great that you don't need a sponsor. You just are invited to come and live here. But guess what? None of us, absolutely none of us, are exceptional aliens. We have fallen so short from the glory of God. We have fallen so short of Him that there's no one who is exceptional before Him. So we need a sponsor, and that sponsor is Christ. Verse 13, if you could keep reading with me, it says, "But now, in Christ Jesus," one more time, this "but," this change, this contrast that we also saw in chapter 2 happens again in chapter 2, verse 13, with the person of Christ. He is the only one who can make a difference. He is the only one who can start a contrast between being an alien and what is going to happen now. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, oh, what a blessing, have been brought near. Us, the Gentiles, who before Christ, even if we tried to be in Israel, we could not even come close to the temple. There was an extra space outside of the temple just for the Gentiles, far away, then closer in, only the Israelites would come, and then closer in, only the priests could come, and then closer in, only the high priest could come, and then even closer, only once a year, that high priest could come into the presence of God. But in Christ Jesus, us who were far off, us who did not belong to Christ, us who would have to stay far away from Jesus, from God Himself, now we have been brought near. We're close to Him. We have closeness. We're related to Him as His children, as Hebrews describes it. We have access through the living way that God has opened through His blood to the presence of the Holy God, to the Holy of Holies. We have been brought near to Him. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. We have been given unity. Before, you had Israel and the Gentiles. But in Christ now, a new body is created, the body of the church. And this church has brought together Gentiles and believers. In one single body, we're given unity. And not only that, we're given peace. I like the way he's describing it here. He is saying that he has torn down the dividing wall of hostility. Now, there are many positions of what this wall could be. It probably is a wall of division in the temple where it would divide the place where the Gentiles would be at and where the Israelites would be at. That's one possibility. But even if we don't know exactly what wall it is, just follow through the image. It's not too hard, right? Have you heard recent conversations about building a wall and make them pay for it? A wall that would separate, a wall that would make a distinction, complete distinction of them and us. This is what Christ is doing. Imagine for a second that that wall was built. A giant wall bordering all across. that would not allow absolutely any illegal immigrant to come through the border into the United States. Now, for some people, that would be awesome and great. For the aliens, not so much. For the immigrants who want to come in, that would be terrible news. Now remember, we were aliens. We're not inside, we were outside. And if there was a wall dividing us, a wall that was in between us and God, in between us and the promises, wouldn't you be glad if somebody came in and tear that wall down and give you now free access to the kingdom of God and the blessings of God? That's what Christ did. Christ broke down, torn down in his flesh, in his sacrifice, the wall of hostility, abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances so that he might create a new one, a new man, in place of two, making peace, and thus reconciling. This is what Christ is doing. He's bringing reconciliation. He's bringing peace. He's bringing unity to us. What a great blessing. What an amazing blessing it is to be sponsored by Christ to become a citizen of heaven. We're no longer afraid or strange, but now we can enjoy all the blessings that they have. That's how this chapter ends in verse 19. He reassures, he reaffirms, and he says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We have all the privileges now, even better privileges. We are not only citizens, we're made children. We're not only given promises, we're given the promise of God, in whom all the promises are yes and amen. We're given Christ Jesus himself. We're given not only the opportunity of belonging to the kingdom, but of working in the kingdom, of being a part of it, of making the kingdom go forward in this earth. We are given a position, a high position. No longer are we aliens. We become ambassadors of Christ. Think about that. Think about how weird would that look for our eyes if an illegal alien would suddenly become the ambassadors of the United States to France. But that's what God has done for us. We who were aliens, who did not deserve any look upon us, have been now made part of his kingdom, made citizens, and have been made his ambassadors, sent to represent Christ and share about the good news of the kingdom of God. We belong to something great. In verse 20, it says, "We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." This image of this building, where the doctrine, the Old Testament and the New Testament are given in, and we are now a part of it. And all of them, both the apostles and the prophets, point to the cornerstone, to Christ Jesus. It's not just what the apostles said. It's what the apostles said about Christ. It's not just what the prophets said. It's what the prophets said about Christ. Everything looking upon him, and we are made a part of that building. We're put on that. We're made a part of it. We're belonging to something that is great and awesome, a construction that God is making. They make something like that here in the States, don't they? When they want to build a new building and they ask people to buy a brick, and you would put in some money, not necessarily what a brick costs, but much more, and maybe your names will go on that brick or on a plate. And as they're building up, and then this huge and enormous building is done, your name is there. You're part of that. You belong to that building. You were a part of the construction of that building. It's right there. You see, that's what God has done for us. We are a part of that building. Peter describes us as living rocks who are now part of the temple of the living God that he's making on earth. As the church, We now belong to that. And we have the privilege, the amazing privilege, of belonging to what God is building here on this earth. Verse 21, we finish reading, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So we're given a purpose to live for him. Let me just finish asking this question. Are you living like an alien or a citizen? Are you still living as a person who is far off from God? Do you forget often the hope that we have in him? Do you forget the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus? Do you live in this world as if you belong to this world, following the pursuit of this world and the world definition of happiness? Is your mindset set on being here on this earth and living as if you were an alien? Or are you living like a citizen of heaven, where you know that your stay here is just temporary, that this is not really your home, this is not really your place, the things that this world has to offer are only temporary, and you do not have to live for them, die for them, make an effort to attain everything that this world has to give you, because there is much more. There is something much better. Do you live as a citizen, looking around for people who are aliens, trying to show them the sponsorship of Christ and inviting them to belong and to become a part of this beautiful, beautiful country that we have given to us by God in heaven? How are you living? Are you a citizen or are you an alien? Now, if for some reason this morning you have not still trusted completely and wholeheartedly in Christ Jesus as your Savior, if you are not sure of where you will go today if you die, I want to invite you. I want to ask you to consider what Jesus did on the cross. The Son of God, who died for each and all of us. Because we are sinners, we are sinful. There is nothing in us that can please God. No matter how many good deeds you do on this earth, there will not be enough to get you into heaven. You need a Savior. You need someone to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from them. And I'd like to invite you to trust in that Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He was born completely God, completely human, lived in this earth, completely holy, and died on the cross for you and for me to pay for our sins and to bring us who were far off, close to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the great and amazing work that your Son has done for us on the cross. Thank you, God, for not only forgiving our sins, not only redeeming us and freeing us from eternal hell and eternal damnation, but thank you because through the death of Christ, we were given the blessing of belonging to you, belonging to your people, of having your promises, of saying that Yahweh, your Father, is our God and is our Father. Lord, we ask that you will change our minds, that you will change the way we live, that you will change the things that we pursue and the things that we do in this earth, so that every day, more and more, we live knowing that we do not belong to this earth, that we are truly aliens, no longer of you, but aliens of this world and this system. Help us to pursue the things of heaven. Help us to pursue the kingdom of God. Help us to tell others and have this desire to have others belong to your kingdom. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the incredible gift of watching others come to you
and come to your son, Jesus. Thank you for this morning, and thank you for this assembly. We ask that you would bless us. We ask that your spirit will strengthen us. We ask that your spirit will give us the power to preach the gospel. And as we get ready also for VBS, God, we pray for all the children and the parents that may come, that in your grace and in your mercy, you will grant them to be a part of your kingdom. You will grant them to be citizens and no longer aliens, God. And you will help us to give our best, to give our all, to give everything we have, our time, our resources, our gifts, our talents, so that through us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ, we may see the miracle of seeing people being born again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.